Just to give you a sense, Nigel, of what the state of affairs currently is. On the Nolan TV show last night, I was discussing this stalemate with the DUP's Gregory Campbell, Sinn Féin's Alex Maskey and the Alliance Party's Naomi Long, who had this message for the DUP.
I'm saying get real about the politics, and I'm saying to Sinn Féin, get real about the economy, because actually, unless those two things happen, the Assembly is in jeopardy. That's not an acceptable way forward. We have an opportunity, but here's the problem. When you're in a hole, you don't keep digging. And that's exactly what has happened. And the longer we let this financial crisis go on, about £1 million a day. It gets worse by £1 million a day.
Are you hearing this, Alex?
So we can't keep digging. We need to get it resolved. And the truth is...
You deny the figures.
I'll tell you what really galls me. What galls me is that parties here are just trotting out what British government ministers are telling us. We had somebody like...
They hold the purse strings. They hold the purse strings. We are in a devolved administration. We cannot raise the money. I went to Westminster, unlike your colleagues, and fought well for a reform where it might have made a difference.
No difference.
Where it might have. It did, though.
It made no difference.
It did, though.
It made no difference.
Alex, it did.
It made...
This is important, Stephen.
Alex Maskey and Sinn Féin have said... It's a virtual red line. They're not going to implement the cuts. That's what Alex Maskey said tonight. Now, if that's so fundamentally important to Sinn Féin, and I opposed those cuts in Westminster, I voted against them. The five Sinn Féin MPs didn't turn up to do that. I voted against them. But if that's so important, what we've been told now, the opinion polls for the past 6 months, 12 months, have shown Labour and Tories neck and neck. Let's say in 6 months' time, that's still the position, and there's no clear lead. And we go into an election next May for a Westminster
election.
Don't
start this. You're not going to start. Are they going to go into Westminster? I'll answer that. No.
Well, hold on then.
They're a stenciless party, aren't they? They're not going to do it.
Hold on. If we are in the position in 6 months' time where our votes could count, and it's a fundamentally important issue to Sinn Féin, is it fundamentally important enough for them to turn up and try and stop it?
Rather than 6 months' time.
Or is it less important?
You see, rather than 6 months' time, have you anything, you've got Alex Maskey sitting here, have you anything to say to him that might actually stop people in this country sitting on a hospital waiting list for double the time that you'll wait in England? Have you anything to say to Alex Maskey about that?
We need to deal with the reality of what we have. We would like to be in a better position. I worked and voted to be in a better position, but we are where we are.
Are you prepared to negotiate with them?
Well, we're getting into talks to try and get a way around this, but there's no more money. That's the point. How often does it have to be said? There isn't any more money.
Right, well, the commentator Alex Kane and Brendan McGrew both with us this morning. Your calls continue to come in. Alex, I said the TV show last night, are we at the brink here of Stormont collapsing? And indeed, if it did collapse, would that be any way a bad thing compared to what the people are currently getting out of Stormont?
Well, yes, morning, Stephen. Yes, I think we are on the brink. Now, you know, the past 18 months, a number of us, I've been one of them on your show, saying, you know, looking at the little trends, the little trifles, the rustles in the undergrowth, suggesting that things are very bad. MLAs from all parties said this is nonsense and media negativity, everything is fine. Interesting thing at this stage now, Stephen, we have Sinn Féin, Alliance, DUP, UB, all saying exactly the same thing. Even they are now publicly admitting that it is so bad that the whole idea of the process collapsing is no longer fanciful or a fairy tale. It's possible that it could. And if you're asking me a more direct question, based on personal experience, you know, of being involved in politics many years ago now, Stephen, and moving into the Observer, would it make a difference? To be honest, if you look at today's Belfast Telegraph poll, where only 16% rate Stormont as either good or very good, and 70% rated as bad, very bad, or not good at all. You know, I think if it collapsed tomorrow, if a button was pushed right now, Stephen, and it disappeared without you being told or me being told, and nobody actually said it, I think it could be a very long time before people suddenly went, oh, where's the Assembly gone? Because it makes no difference. And I accept the point that, yes, it's good that we live in a world where we're not killing each other, where there aren't active terrorist campaigns. But what people were promised back in 1998, what they voted for in 1998, what was offered and promised to them again in 2007 by Sinn Féin and the DUP, and their deal was that Northern Ireland was stable, it would work, it was successful, people could work together, there would be cooperation, this is good government, this was good devolution. No one is seeing any of that. People have disengaged from the whole process, and now you have this nonsense where the politicians don't actually, put it bluntly, Stephen, don't even have the balls to admit that they have got it wrong and somehow are still constantly blaming each other. It's never our fault. Oh, it's always their fault. They're the people who this morning actually need to wake up.
And these talks that are supposed to solve everything, right? Now, let's just remind ourselves what is ahead of these talks. First of all, are they ever going to happen? Because you had the situation last night, like you could not make this up. The situation where Gregory Campbell is saying the Irish government will not be involved in internal matters in Northern Ireland, and Alex Maskey sitting there saying yes, they will. So there's a precondition to the talks before we start, before those talks get absolutely off the ground. You also have the DUP saying that they need the inquiry announced by Theresa Villiers before those talks will happen. There's another precondition. Will those talks ever get off the ground? And then Brendan Mulgrew, let me put this point to you. In the actual talks, they couldn't sort out flags, parades, emblems in the talks last time. The DUP walk out of those talks. What's happening now? There's flags, there's parades, there's protests, there's emblems, and there's welfare reform. And they actually think they're going to be able to come up with some type. I can hear them now probably saying, oh, there's Nolan being negative. They actually think it's realistic that they're going to be able to agree on that when they couldn't agree on last year on some of it.
Yeah, the track record is not good, Stephen, and I think there are actually there are dates being bandied about now for talks to kick off in the middle of October. But the more you overload the agenda, the more problems you add on to the agenda, and the less likely it is you will get some sort of comprehensive deal. What I would love to see, Stephen, is yes, there's massive issues around flags, the parades in the past. We failed to agree on them last Christmas and into the New Year's period. Can we not set those things to one side? Is it too naive to hope or to expect to see Peter Robinson, Martin McGuinness, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, could they come out today and say, you know what, yes, we agree, we have massive budgetary problems, we together acknowledge that, we together resolve to work to try and solve those things as best we can.
Well, this is my point.
Pending the Theresa Villiers talk, we don't need Theresa Villiers to convene talks on the budget crisis because we knew this budget crisis was coming. This is a hell of a lot more to do than welfare reform. This budget crisis has been coming for months.
I hear that. And that's my point about the Ryder Cup. I am not having a pop at Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson for going to the Ryder Cup. I am absolutely not doing that. But if they can go to that together, if they can do that, is there no way that they can have any type, even if they disagree, any type of united message to the people of this country, like Sammy, who was on earlier this morning, shaking because of an illness? Is there no way that those two leaders can stand up and say, right, OK, together we're going to try to sort this?
It appears at the moment that that's off the agenda, unfortunately, but that actually, I think, would give everyone a lift. They don't even have to have a solution. They just have to be prepared to say, we are going to work together to find a solution. We heard yesterday, your radio show was like a 1970s disaster movie. The computer's been switched off. No, it's not been switched off. What the hell was that all about? That was the exact opposite of standing together and saying, you know what? People of Northern Ireland, we're actually going to try and work this out. Maybe I'm being naive and even thinking that that's on the agenda.
Not on the agenda. Alex, Ken, here's another reality I would ask you about, and it's this. The people of this country, actual people who matter, the citizens of this country, are currently being told, no matter what way you look at this, they're being told that they are going to suffer, that their services are not going to be good, they're going to have less money in their pocket no matter what way they look at it. Do you know the only people who won't have less money in their pocket? The politicians. So they will continue to get their salary. Is there no scenario where their livelihoods can be under threat? Is there no scenario where the politicians can actually be under pressure that if they don't deliver for the people, then they are punished?
There is a
scenario. You could call that an election, of course, but
No, there is a scenario. You're right, and I think we've actually reached that point. We've given them a number of opportunities, and I accept, Stephen. I mean, I'm not naive. I've been involved in it. I know it's very, very difficult sometimes to get these things done, and I agree with Brendan. You know, they don't need Theresa Villiers. They don't need Richard Haass. You know, Robinson and McGuinness sitting down together with two or three people, even if they only focused on one issue and tried even to get a little success on that, you build on that. But if you're talking about the bigger issue where we are now, it's simple. Secretary of State does step in, and she does a number of very simple things. She says, first of all, guys, I am suspending the Assembly with immediate effect.
But look what happened when devolution was suspended, 2002, 2007, they still got paid.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the next stage. She says, I am suspending a number of things, Stephen. She says, I am suspending the Assembly with immediate effect. I am closing. So in other words, your offices are closed. There will be an immediate reduction in your salary, not just like 10% or something. There will be an immediate cut you will be aware of. It will affect your constituency offices. It'll affect
It's not going to happen.
No, you said, Stephen, is there a scenario? I'm telling you, this is a scenario. And I bet you most people in the country would agree with this. And then somebody, you say to these people, yeah, you can collapse this yourself, which some of them seem to want to. But the Secretary of State also says, you are not getting an election until you come to me. Until you come to me and say, here is a template we have agreed. Here are the outstanding issues we have agreed. There is no bloody point, Stephen, in them going off to talk, sitting around for hours, collapsing it on Christmas Eve, some nonsense, oh, let's come back on New Year's Day. It's not. These people will own like everything in life, Stephen. Sometimes the only way you will force people to make decisions or actually get serious is when you threaten their pocket and when you threaten their long-term...
It's not going to happen.
Well, then if it, then we're back to my normal thing, which I would say to you, Stephen...
Which is the people of this country suffer.
Yes, they're going to keep suffering, Stephen, because the political system, for all the talk they have, for all the nonsense they come out with every day about how serious they are about helping each other, the simple reality is, Stephen, you have people who cannot sit around an executive table and actually make... They don't want to make decisions. They're either afraid to make decisions. They're looking over their shoulders.
Do you know what this actually looks like to many people? It looks like this DUP Sinn Féin stalemate. It actually looks like a marriage that's over, but nobody wants to walk out in case they lose the house in the divorce settlement, for goodness sake.
That's exactly what it is, Stephen. And do you know something? The ultimate bottom line in all of this, I guarantee you, Stephen, 70-80% of people in Northern Ireland couldn't care if it closed tomorrow. It doesn't affect them one
way or
the
other. We're going to hear from them in just a second. Stay there. We're going to speak to the Justice Minister, David Ford, very shortly indeed. Let's have a look at how your police service will be here in your country. I'm reading the Belfast Telegraph here, how they've summed this up. Today's edition, fewer officers on the front line, response times will be longer, fewer crimes will be solved, custody cells set to close. This is George Hamilton. He's the new chief constable. He is saying that the police service will be unrecognisable. So park the health service, which we've already talked about. The police service, unrecognisable in this country. That's before we get to roads. That's before we get to education. Robin and Banger, morning to you.
Good morning. And what was on the news? Sinn Féin complaining about parades. About a march down Ardoyne or wherever it was. You know, as everybody is saying, why can't these people get real? Who cares about the march?
Robin, thank you. Jim and Rich Hill. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think your show last night, Stephen, and with these politicians bickering again about the flags and the parades again, and link your show to the BBC Spotlight on Monday night, where we had two cancer sufferers, a lady in Carrickfergus and a man from Lisburn, and waiting on drugs, wanting to get drugs, and couldn't get them because Stormont, after 10 years, still haven't got a cancer drugs fund that Westminster had asked them about. You know, people in this country are literally dying. You know, we actually cried when we were watching that programme on Monday night, and those two folk, terminal cancer, and they were pleading for a wee drug that could extend their lives, and they can't get it because Westminster 10 years ago had said to Stormont, we've got a drugs fund, you too can have a drugs fund. Oh yes, that would be a good idea, but they didn't have...
No, we don't have a drugs fund in Northern Ireland. It's another example of what we don't have here, that if you go and live in England, we are part of the UK. It's another example of how if you go to England, there would be a drugs fund. You're here in Northern Ireland. Can Stormont deliver you a drugs fund? No, it cannot. No, it can't. No, Peter in Belfast. No. Morning, Peter.
Hi, Stephen. Stephen, I've been waiting. Sammy was waiting for 7 months there and he's been told he's waiting a year. I've been waiting 2 years for a confirmation diagnosis of Parkinson's.
2 years?
Uh-huh.
My goodness. So what have you got to say this morning about this?
That's an absolute disgrace, the way these people get on. I watched your programme last night, like somebody else said, they're getting on like school children. He didn't do it. No, he did. He did. No, they want to catch themselves on the whole lot of them. It's like everybody in this country would agree, if they can't agree to do the job, take their wages off them.
It's not going to happen.
Well, we'll just have to...
Now, they would argue that the election is when their jobs are in jeopardy and that they get a mandate from the people. And they would argue that that's the jeopardy for them.
But sure, they've nothing to worry about. There's no real opposition in this country. They've only got, let's face it, no matter what the election results will be, you've got DUP and Sinn Féin are the two biggest loyalist and nationalist parties there is in Northern Ireland. And they're going to get back in again, no matter what. So where are you going to go after that? They need to have a complete change of the system where they have a fully functional opposition party here, where the parties have something to fear that if we don't operate right, the opposition's going to get in. It's a joke, this country, with systems.
Peter, thank you. Alex Kane, do you think these talks which we hear that are about to begin, do you think they actually can happen? Because as we've already pointed out in the programme, both parties, Sinn Féin and DUP, have already backed themselves into a corner on that too.
Well, that's what worries me most, Stephen, because even at the time of the first Haas talks, which is around this time last year, and even there was a sense that maybe the parties were serious. You know, whatever was going on in the internal dynamics, there was a sense that they thought, well, this is worth giving it a go. What I sense now is that they don't think it's worth giving it a go, and so much so that they're not even trying to pretend, you know, that the DUP are saying, oh, well, you know, if the Irish government are involved, if this inquiry into our doing isn't sorted and if this isn't done, we won't be there in Sinn Féin.
If you asked them, they would deny that totally, wouldn't they? They're committed to the institutions.
No, they wouldn't deny it. I heard Sinn Féin on the, I think it was John O'Dowd on Good Morning Ulster, about an Argo saying that he wanted welfare legislation. He said, we have to have a proper debate. It's called democracy. We want to see the welfare legislation on the floor of the Assembly. Was that, but aren't Sinn Féin committed to voting against it? Yeah, well, we are going to vote against it. I just think that's the nonsense of this, Stephen, that both parties are demanding certain things but have no sense whatsoever that they're going to budge anywhere.
Which brings me back to the men at the very top of this country. Leadership, Martin McGuinness, Peter Robinson, have they got the capability to actually, the ability, Brendan Mulgrew, to somehow, together, not magic word, together, find a way through this?
They have the ability, Stephen, because it has happened in the past. It's been all too rare, and at times of very severe, maybe security situations. It hasn't happened around this issue of the budget. And last Thursday, the executive met, and where was the budget discussed at the executive meeting? Any other business. That's where it came up. And the discussion, we understand, lasted less than a couple of minutes. But that's where it came up, under any other business. Surely the most pressing issue of the day. Yeah, they have the ability. It's to do with will, and it's to do with setting aside the primary or narrow interests which are attached to party and constituency and doing something.
Well, when you hear how stark this is. Yeah. So last night I put it to Gregory Campbell that if Sinn Féin do not move on welfare reform, are we at the point of no return? Listen to this.
There is no possibility of Stormont continuing with the implication, the resource implication that a failure to implement welfare reform will bring. No possibility. There's no way a government in Northern Ireland could be sustained with up to £1 billion of a hit.
Right,
it couldn't be
that's
sustained.
A yes, because I want people watching this tonight to understand where we're at. If Sinn Féin do not change their mind on welfare reform, you lot are bringing Stormont down, correct?
Well, it's not a case of us bringing it down.
Will Stormont collapse?
Well, we won't have £1,000 million to keep it going. And we will have £1,000 million to take out of our budget.
So will Stormont collapse?
Obviously it will collapse.
So there it is. So one of these two parties is going to have to budge. This is the reality, Alex Kane. Now, Gregory Campbell has spelt it out there in the starkest terms I've heard so far. Stormont is gone if Sinn Féin do not budge.
Yes, that's what he said on the front page of the newsletter this morning. Geoffrey Donaldson saying exactly the same thing. But in relation to your earlier question, Stephen, the one and the Brenton just answered as well, about, you know, have Robinson and McGuinness the ability? Of course they have the ability. Both political parties have the ability. The more important question is, have they the inclination? And my sense is that they don't, because I sense that their view, you're right, they think that it doesn't matter what happens. It's in their head, Stephen. You have to look at the blunt realities of all this. It's in their head that as far as the British and Irish and American governments are concerned, this process is still too big and too important to allow to collapse.
Alex Maskey didn't like me putting a scenario to him last night. He said I was putting words in his mouth or ramming it down their throat. I don't know what he said. Something like I should be asking the questions rather than answering them. Something like that. But I put a scenario to Alex Maskey last night that some people feel that Sinn Féin actually want the institutions to fall, that Sinn Féin have a scenario where the way they can get themselves out of this welfare reform issue that they're in is to have direct rule temporarily. Therefore, the big, bad British ministers come in. They impose direct rule. They impose welfare reform. Sinn Féin can say, isn't this terrible? But it's happening, so it gets them through it. Then we have devolution back. Everybody's happy again.
No, the reason I don't buy into that, Stephen, is that it would make, when you look at it, it makes Sinn Féin look terribly weak. What did they say to their grassroots? We couldn't stop us. The Brits stepped in and did it anyway. And people go, well, what's the point of you going back? If a party is not able to be seen to stop what it most objects to, Stephen, it doesn't have an advantage by stepping out of it and allowing someone else to do it. There's no way Sinn Féin could say, you let it collapse. And said the DUP, let the Brits take all the decisions on this. And the DUP could get away with this as well. It would have been lesser cuts if we'd done it ourselves. I don't see that happening because the general public are not stupid, Stephen. They will see that. It's devolution. Suddenly all these welfare cuts are implemented. Let's have an election. Everybody's back again.
We're not
that stupid.
Don't just take... direct rule as the magic wand here, because it's possible that direct rule, Brendan Mulgrew, could bring water charges. Possible that direct rule could bring prescription charges to Northern Ireland too.
Yeah, I understand.
Much higher university fees as well.
I understand the scenario you were painting last night, Stephen, and this morning, but I agree with Alex. I don't think it's in Sinn Féin's interest or the rest of us to have the Treasury version or the Downing Street version or Ian Duncan Smith's version of welfare reform imposed here, because whatever marginal concessions have been wrung out by DSD and by Alex Atwood and by Nelson McCausland, we do have a slightly different version of welfare reform apparently on the table now. So a Westminster imposed solution, the Dublin welfare reform and all those other things you mentioned, I think that's the worst possible outcome. And particularly at a time when, post the referendum 2 weeks ago, there's more devolution being proposed for Scotland. There's English assemblies or regions maybe looking for devolution too. Are we on the verge of handing back some of the powers that we do have? I just don't think that's on the agenda for Sinn Féin. Okay.